This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hello and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Su An. What does a gallery, museum and cafe look like when it's all rolled up into one space? So that's what Harta Space aims to offer. It is an initiative by Habib Jewels to feature local artists as well as the unique heritage of Peranakan jewellery and fashion in its museum space. So here to share more about what they do and what they plan for the future as well is Harta's director, Mirsham Mir. Mirsham, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Su An. Very happy to be here.
Glad to have you on. I've been following Harta's social media pages for a while. It seems like a really interesting space. Now, I know it's fairly new. It's about 7-8 months old, I think. Tell me more about the spark behind setting up Harta, you know, the why and the how for the space.
Sure. So Harta is an initiative by Habib Jewels, as you mentioned. So over the last couple of years, you know, we were approaching our 65th anniversary. This year is our 66th. And we were thinking about what do we want to do as a company or as a brand going forward? You know, what are our goals beyond our sort of financial ambitions? Mm. And I think one key thing that we landed on was we wanted to be a company that carries the Malaysian flag with pride. And we wanted to educate more people, particularly younger people, on Malaysian heritage, design, art, culture, and help to build appreciation for those things. Yeah. So first it started with the museum because we also have been collecting Malaysian heritage jewellery over the years. Mm-hmm. And we thought, why keep it in a safe somewhere? Let's research it and put it up on display and educate more people about it. So that was how the museum was established. And we thought, let's also highlight Malaysia's creativity through its art. So we have a gallery space where we showcase Malaysian artists, you know, young, senior, different mediums, you know, traditional, but also digital art, all that kind of stuff. And then we have a little cafe slash event space where we have seminars, workshops, and just a place for people to hang out and just enjoy a coffee or a little snack, you know. Yeah, that's Harta in a nutshell.
That's a lot of things all rolled up into one. I guess for someone who's not been to the space, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot going on, but does it feel that way when you're there in person?
The space, I would say, feels quite chill and quite... It's not too loud or busy all the time. There's constantly stuff going on. So almost every weekend or at least once or twice a month, we have... workshops and seminars. So we have we are collaborating with Monash University at the moment to conduct these seminars and workshops around. The series is called the Arts of the Nusantara. Mm. So it can be about jewelry, textiles, fashion of Southeast Asia, particularly in Malaysia, and how it links to the rest of the region. Also, the gallery constantly has a show on, and you know, it changes every 1 or 2 weeks, sometimes a month. Yeah. Mm.
Now, I was reading up on your website, and I understand that Harta stands for Habib, Action for the Revival of our Traditional Arts. Tell me more about the reason you chose this name, you know, and the acronym as well. What did you want to get from it?
Yeah. Firstly, action. I think it's really something that we are very intentional about, promoting Malaysia's heritage and traditions and arts and design, but yeah, revival is also the other interesting sort of part of it. So, you know, we feel that the sort of education on these things it hasn't been passed down very well, and that's for many different reasons. You know, one of which is that, you know, we don't have a strong culture of writing things down and documenting things, and so a lot of the stories and whatnot are just through word of mouth and you know, grandparents passing to the grandkids, stuff like that. And naturally like this, you tend to lose stories. Even when we were doing research for the museum setting up, there was very, very little resources that like formal resources that we had. And we spent a lot of time interviewing experts, you know, face to face. So it's also getting all that information and promoting it to a younger group of people as well, you know,
So then I want to talk about first your museum space, right? Because I understand that your museum quite specifically focuses on Peranakan fashion and jewelry. Tell me more about the reasoning behind that, because why are you focused on this very particular aspect of Malaysian culture?
Well, when we first started out, we decided to focus on Peranakan, honestly, because that was the collection of jewelries we had were very much from that group of people in society at that particular time period. But the idea is for the museum to also develop in building its collection over time. And, you know, eventually we want to showcase Malay jewelries from Kelantan and Terengganu. And, you know, other cultures within Malaysia as well. But also we in the museum, we try to highlight different types of Peranakan, right? So when people think Peranakan, we realize that most people, and including myself, to be honest, before setting this up, you think the Babas and the Nyonyas or the Straits Chinese, right, in Penang. But there are so many different types of Peranakan. So we try to highlight Jawi Peranakan culture, and also Cheti Peranakan culture as well in the museum. Yeah.
Tell me more about what are some of the unique exhibits that you have in the museum currently?
So the museum is structured in a way where we have all the different types of jewelry that a Peranakan lady would wear at a point in time. It's laid out from head to toe. So you start off with hairpins, and then you move down to the earrings and the necklaces and then rings, belts, and then right down to the anklets. And we also try to highlight the design motifs, so the inspiration behind the design, the influences behind the design, which you can see a lot of Malaysia's migration history through those designs. So the influences from China, the Arabic influences, Indian influences, and others. We try to highlight techniques and also materials. So I think educating on people, like, what's the difference in Intan and Berlian and, you know, some of the other stones that are used and whatnot. So, yeah, we have some special pieces. So, like, the Kerongsang toes, which are, I think, quintessential Peranakan fashion, we have a nice collection of that, I think. And we put it up on mannequins to show how it's worn as well. Also, with our museum, it's actually used as a research center for our design team as well. So they spend a lot of time in there researching old Malaysian designs, which were, you know, so complicated and intricate, and see how they can modernize it. So in more explicit ways, we have like the Cincin Wakana, or the olive-shaped rings. We have like modern versions of it. Or we just take certain design elements and like subtly put it into our new jewelry and stuff like that as well. And they're not necessarily all expensive. Some are more high end, some are more affordable. Yeah.
The other aspect of Harta is, of course, your art gallery. I know that you have a rotation of artists who come in and out with different exhibitions, some lasting a week to 2 weeks or sometimes longer. I guess with the current Malaysian art landscape, right, it does seem that we have, you know, quite a number of small spaces that are popping up to host these kinds of art exhibitions, right? So, I mean, some might even say that it feels like an oversaturated scene. So what does Harta aim to offer when it comes to showcasing Malaysian art?
Yeah, so I think we have two main aims with the gallery. The first is to give exposure to Malaysia artists. We feel there's still a lot of work to do in building our art scene. And we know that there is still a big demand for it, because since setting up the space, we initially thought it would be hard to find shows, but we now find ourselves turning down more shows than actually accepting, because there's such a huge demand for it. And, you know, we're fully booked out until next year, Chinese New Year. The other goal is to introduce new people to the art scene. You know, the Malaysian art scene is lively, and you know, there's a lot of very enthusiastic people in the scene, you know, whether they're collectors or just people who enjoy going to galleries. But it's a fairly small scene still. You tend to see the same people at different shows and whatnot. And whilst we're very thankful for that group, we feel that, you know, there's work to be done to build that group. So we want to expose more people who may not be exposed to the arts, you know, for example, Habib customers, and say, hey, look, you have a bit of money, you have an eye for design, you know, why don't you go check out this art show and, you know, maybe even buy from this artist, you know, support his career. The way that we do that is, yeah, we try to speak to more people from our Habib network, but also when we write about our shows, we try to keep it more easy to understand. I admit myself as well, I go to some galleries sometimes and I read about the show and stuff, and I'm like, I don't understand half of what I'm reading.
I think that that appeals to a lot of people. A lot of people don't go to galleries because they feel that they don't understand what it is, right? Yeah. So it's even more important that you make it accessible.
Exactly. And we try to keep the concept of the shows to be quite straightforward, you know, not too overcomplicated or academic. I think we have amazing galleries as well who serve that market, but we're trying to do things a little bit differently, yeah.
Mm. Did you always envision creating an art space?
Honestly, no. Yeah, I mean, myself, my family, we've always been into art. We've always, you know, everywhere we travel around the world, we're checking out art galleries. You know, my parents have collected for a while. This was quite, I guess, serendipitous or unexpected. And honestly, I have a lot more respect for galleries now, because actually going behind the scenes, you actually understand how difficult it is. So yeah, to answer your question, no, I never really envisioned myself doing this. Yeah.
Mm. What have been some of the most memorable or unique exhibitions that you've had thus far? Because I know you've had a few since you opened in August as well.
Yeah. So currently we have a show with Hussein Hormain, who is quite a senior artist. He focuses on Islamic calligraphy.
Mm.
And just before this show, we had another show with Chongyan Chua, who is a digital artist. And, you know, we launched around Chinese New Year time because his show was about dragons and the stories and the myths about dragons and whatnot. And that was a very, very, like, experiential show. You know, there was curated scents and news sound and video, and it was a very immersive show, very different to the current show that we have. But, you know, both shows are equally as interesting and engaging.
Mm.
Yeah.
So really, you're not restricting yourself to a particular type of art either then?
No. The only restriction we have is the artist has to be Malaysian. Yeah, we thought, you know, it'll be a good we want to be a platform for younger artists to help give more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But equally, I think senior artists who have maybe, you know, made it, it's good to show them as well, because younger artists can come and take inspiration and learn from it. But also just the, you know, the normal sort of gallery visitor would enjoy that show as well. So yeah, we just try to mix it up. But yeah, the theme is Malaysian artists.
So when you have workshops, that's on top of like the gallery and the museum, is that right?
Yes, exactly. So like, we try to do it every 2 weeks, these workshops or seminars on various topics. So the Arts of the Nusantara is a series that we're doing with Monash University. We just had one on Keris. We have one on wayang kulit, and that includes a workshop of making your own wayang kulit puppet. We had textiles that was done by John Ang, very, very well-known textile
collector.
So it's
not just people coming to see and to read, but people get to sort of almost experience what it's like to be part of that making of arts and culture as well.
Exactly. And they're fairly intimate as well. So you can actually speak to the expert and ask your own questions. And it's not just a lecture, basically. Yeah.
You said that you realized that this has been more difficult than you anticipated, right? What have been some of the expected or even unexpected challenges of opening up the space?
Well, a lot of the back end stuff, I think, the documentation and storage and security and safety issues. And to be honest, we're learning as we go along. We've hired some quite experienced people, and you know, the experience they've brought has been sort of invaluable, but we're still learning as we go along. You know, dealing with high value items, we have some expertise on because of our jewelry expertise, but dealing with artwork,
it's a whole new ballgame.
And marketing the space as well, starting a business fresh, you know, we're still trying to get our name out there. So yeah, I think that's also another challenge. Yeah.
What do you want people to take away when they come and visit Harta, whether it's for the museum, for the gallery, or for workshops?
Mm. So one of the reasons why we have such diverse programming is because we're trying to just mix different groups. So we want that younger generation who might come for, say, Chongyan's show because it's digital and it's interesting and it's something different. We want them to be like, oh, actually, they've got a workshop on Wayang Kulit next week. That'll be pretty interesting. Let's go check that out. We want to sort of almost cross-sell, right, across generations or interests, vice versa as well, you know, for maybe someone who's more interested in traditional arts and culture to be like, oh, let's go check out this digital art show. We want people who might feel intimidated to go to an art gallery to be like, oh, why don't we just check this out? You know, worst case, we'll just go to the cafe and have a coffee, you know. But then oftentimes we find that when they come in, you know, because it's easy to understand like the text that we have and the story behind or the concept behind the show, they actually was just like, oh, this is really interesting. And it's like an introduction into art. They end up leaving being like, oh, okay, when's your next show? Or, you know, we want to do that more. That's pretty much exactly what we want from the space. Yeah.
What are your plans for the future then? Because and like you say, right, the gallery space is booked up. But I guess you alluded a bit to it earlier in terms of expanding the museum space. But tell me more about all of that.
For now, I think physical space will there's no plans to expand. So just improve our sort of operations and just get used to things. And I think just keep the programming interesting. We're booked out for the rest of the year, but every show is so different. We also have events in the gallery collaborating with charities. I think with the workshops and seminars, we're going to do more. We want to do workshops and seminars on film and music as well. And with the museum, I think we're going to be building the collection sort of behind the scenes, upgrading almost or like swapping out the collection for different things. And then eventually when we have a collection of a different style of jewelry, that's Malaysian jewelry still, we'll swap out the whole museum into something new.
And where can our listeners find Harta on your social media?
We're at Harta Space on Instagram.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mirsham.
Thank you. Thanks, Suan.
I've been speaking to Mirsham Mir, director of Harta, about their space, which is a combination of a gallery, museum, and a cafe/event space all rolled into one. I'm Lim Suan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.